It's actually a message I preached to the ladies in Insubisi at one point, Mother's Day. It's a Mother's Day lesson. But there's enough point in here that I can challenge you from this perspective. We're going to look at different ladies in scriptures, and I want to use their life to challenge you men. Why aren't you living like it? Why aren't you living like this? All right? In our world today, obviously, gender and the roles of men and women are being challenged right from our very eyes. In fact, it's being blurred. The Bible is very clear. He said, God said, He made what? Male and female. That's very clear. Very clear. If you look at anybody's DNA, it doesn't matter what you do. There's only two genders that God created. No matter what you do on the outside, no matter if you have any alteration done, and I'm not saying you here or even those listening, but anybody that would do any alteration on the outside or anything that they would take for hormones to help them develop certain things, if you break down the DNA, I can tell if you're a male or a female by the DNA. Okay? The DNA, the X and Y chromosome, there's only two. Either you're a male or a female. It doesn't change, no matter what you do on the outside. No matter if you start talking different, no matter if you operate on your throat to change the sound of it, it doesn't matter. You are a male or a female. When you stand before God, that's how He's going to address you, by the way. And as a role, man has a different role than a woman. Can I say that on a Baptist church that believes in the Bible? There's a role that a man plays that a woman does not play. All right? And sometimes feminists gets upset at that because they want to be equal to us. They are equal to us in many ways. Salvation is the same. The Bible says there's neither male nor female. When it comes to certain status, prayer, when it comes to certain things that you would receive, like I have children, I have two male children, I have two female children. I don't love them different in the sense of my love is the same, but it's executed differently because of their gender is different. So I do different things with them. But my love generally is the same for them. Okay? I don't favor the boys over the girls. Right? The same thing with the Lord. But I expect the boys to do something different than I expect the girls. So let's say when it comes to marrying age, I'm going to kick my boy out. Get out there and learn to be on your own more than I would do my daughter. Not that I wouldn't teach her to be independent and learn to make it for herself. But I want to push the boy more. Why? Because he's the leader of the home. I have to train him harder. In the sense of, you have to be independent. You have to go get her. And to go get her, you have to be independent of your parents before you even start a relationship. Alright? I was already out of the home before I started a relationship. Alright? I was taught to work for myself. I paid my own insurance. Okay, that's the way my dad decided to do it, my parents. I paid for my own insurance. I worked while I was still in high school. I started to work at 11th grade, 12th grade. Never stopped after that. Just kept working. Doing school, college. I had part-time jobs there in Austin. I learned to be on my own. And then I said, well, I need a woman. And so when I had my wife, all I did was I told my dad and my mom, this is the lady that I'm going to marry. Then from that point on, guess who I had to please? My wife's father. Why? Because that's how the role sets. That father is the one in charge of that young lady. If you want Micah, I'm going to push him. Get your life in order. Shut up. He's here. But when it comes to Abby, I'm going to, hey, is your life in order, boy, before you talk to my daughter? You see the role is different? Don't let the world change that for you, okay? Don't let the world change that for you. That's all biblical. I don't have time to set that up. But I want to challenge you men with some of the questions God says here in His book. Proverbs 8 and verse number 4. You're in Judges chapter number 4. But I want to go to Proverbs 8 and verse number 4. It says, unto you, O man, I call, okay? And my voice is to the sons of men. Either God made a mistake or that's true. Either God made a mistake or that's true. Can I say that one more time? Did God make a mistake by saying that or is that true? You have to make that point in your life. You have to remember that. God says, unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. Okay? He calls men to be leaders because he equipped you with that responsibility when you were created in the very first place. Eve was not created first. It was men created first and given the task to what? To be a steward of the garden. To be given that free choice of responsibility, God says, do not partake of this fruit. He was told that before Eve came around. So a man, according to the scripture, has a role. We're not any better than the woman. In fact, I married a wonderful young lady. I want to say young, because she's going to be forever young. I have to say it like that. You know what I mean by that if you're married. I love her. She complements my life. And I hope I do hers. Okay? But she knows the role that I place in her life. In fact, we're going to have a wedding in April. If the father of the bride is alive, the father of the bride is the one that brings or the parent together, whatever they want to do. But typically, the bride comes along with the father and walks down the aisle. And symbolic, and then a preacher says, who gives this bride away? And then the father would say, either he would say, I'm me and my wife, or he would say, I do. Okay? And that's symbolic. At that point, the man then grabs the woman, in a good way. You know, takes the responsibility of the father. Husband, that's what you're going to do someday. When you ask a woman, you're going to say, in very few words, but you're going to say this, I'm going to provide for her housing like you did, Dad. I'm going to provide for her well-being in health care, in groceries, in clothing, whatever you have done to get her to this point, Dad of the bride, me as the groom, I will shoulder now that responsibility. Amen. That's what happens, okay? That's all blurred. It's all blurred now by the world because most people don't even do the wedding anymore. They just cohabitate and live together. So, the Bible says that, unto you, O man, I call, and my voice is the sons of men. God wants to develop a relationship with the men, not that he doesn't want to do that with the women. We know Mary Magdalene. We know a bunch of ladies in the time of Jesus' ministry. There was a bunch of ladies. But who did he spend time with? The ladies? Did he call 12 disciple ladies? No, he called 12 men. So you understand he knows the role of a man is different than the role of a woman. Can I leave it there? And not have to argue about that? Because it's clear in scripture. It's all over scripture. I don't care what the culture tells us. I don't care what the society of our day and age tells us. That's what God says. Okay? Look at Ezekiel 22 and verse 30. Ezekiel 22 and verse 30. God says, not only do I call for a man, I sought for a man. So God is calling and saying, hey, and you can put your name there. Adam. Adam. He's calling and looking for you. All right? And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it, but I found none. A glimpse of this you find in Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham said to these three angels, and we know who they were, going to Sodom, trying to find Lot, went to Lot's house. But we find Abraham was talking to them and says, if you find this many righteous, and I don't want to quote it because I'm going to mess it up, but it was a big number at first. He said, if there is that many, I will save that city. He goes down to a lower number. Yes, I will. And then Abraham is bargaining with God here. And he said, can I find 10? I believe it is. If I'm wrong, correct me later. He said 10, and guess what? There was not even 10 righteous people. Because we know the story. Lot messed up, even in Noah's family. He messed up. So, may I challenge you? I got 3 points this morning. I want to challenge you men to be these three things. All right? In your life, in your role as a man. And sadly, we find it in a woman. And the scripture talks about it and commends a woman. So let's go to Judges chapter number 4 and verse number 47. Did we pray? Anybody know, pay attention? Did we pray already? Let's pray then. Lord, come. We come to you, Lord, today, this morning, asking for your help. Thank you for the men represented in here of all ages. Lord, I pray that we would take this to heart and we would be the men that you want us to be. Not what the world tells us to be, but what your word tells us to be. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Judges chapter number 4. You know what we're going to talk about. If you're familiar with this chapter, it's going to be Deborah and Barak. Okay? Now look at it in chapter number 4 and verse number 4. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at this time. Okay? Just pause for a second. Only judge that I know of, there's a female. And the Bible is going to tell us why. And I think you already know the meat of my message this morning. Because this is happening in our day and age. It's happening in our homes. Because the men are failing. Okay? Look at this. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at this time. We're not even going to be talking about Lapidoth. But we're going to talk about Barak here. Verse 5. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel. Bethel is a wonderful place. There's many, many altars built there by Jacob, Abraham. Okay? It's a good place. All right? In Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. Okay, man, what is she doing right now? She's leading the people of Israel. We know the study of Judges, what they're doing. Why is that? Why is a woman doing a man's job? Right? God says, my call is to the men. God says, I sought for a man. Not that he doesn't use women. He uses women all day long. In fact, I'm going to have a quote for you of a wonderful, dear young lady that was called to be a missionary and did amazing things. She was wacky. You think I'm wacky? She was crazy. She was absolutely bonkers. She was absolutely funny and just full of life. But she said a statement that was convicting, and I'll quote it for you at the end of this lesson. But I'm asking you, why is a woman doing a man's job? Now, I'm talking about the role. Right? Okay. Verse number 6. And he sent and called Barak. A woman calls you up and says, come on. I think Deborah knows what I'm preaching about. I think Deborah knows the principle of Scripture. And Deborah does not want to go and do this herself. She wants a man. Apparently, her husband was not the man. It doesn't elaborate for us, but the woman is the one making this move. Look at verse number 6. And she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kedesh, Naphtali, and said unto him, had not the Lord God of Israel commanded? She is questioning this man. Did God call you and talk to you and told you to do this? What I'm about to tell you? If you're a man at this point, if you're a man's man, you're going to feel that small. I hope. If there's any men in you, you're going to feel that small. Because a woman is correcting him and saying to him, did not God call you? Does not God have a walk with you? Did you not get this from God? The title of this message is, where are the men? Where are the men? The Bible, biblical manhood that takes the role of manhood and the responsibility it takes. Not a dictator, not a control freak, okay? Not those. That's not biblical, all right? But a man that leads by example and has gentleness and has patience and has long suffering, has judgment, has wisdom, has discretion. Where are those men? Well, I'm going to highlight them today because we need men like that in the church. We need men like that in Faith Bible Baptist Church. Because God wants to use men like that. He's going to use whatever he can use. We already know he used a rooster. We already know he used a donkey. He's going to use whatever he can use, so we'll let him use them. But it's sad to say, I think part of the reason why Deborah is in the place she's in, because Barak was not in the place he should have been. Now, look at it again here. Continue now as we look at it. And it says, had not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, go. There's the command to Barak. Go. And draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of children of Naphtali, and of the children of Zebulun. Verse 7. And I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thine hand. So there was a captain of the army of their enemy here, Jabin's army, which is the king of the enemy, and he sent Sisera. Okay? And it was Deborah that had to go to Barak and said, Barak, did not the Lord talk to you about this? Right? Did not the Lord talk to you about this? Why then are you not doing this? Okay? Look at Judges chapter number 4 and verse number 14. It says, and Deborah said unto Barak, up. So Deborah is like, whoa, go. And Deborah says, up. If you're any of a man's men, you're going to have a hard time with this. Right? You should. Ain't woman telling me go. Ain't woman telling me up. Right? And so that's what was happening here. Up, for this is the day in which the Lord had delivered Sisera into thine hand. Had not I sent thee? Look at some of these questions here that was being asked Barak. And the Lord looked unto him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Okay. That's chapter number 6 of verse number 14. That's wrong. Let's go to 14 of 5, of chapter number 4. I was on the wrong chapter there. And Deborah said unto Barak, up, for this is the day in which the Lord had delivered Sisera into thine hand. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor, the 10,000 men after him. Do you not see that the Lord was talking to Deborah? But do you not see in the way Deborah is commanding Barak, do you not see that Deborah was saying, God is commanding you to do this, Barak, why are you not doing it? It didn't say here that God spoke to Deborah, and then it's Deborah's job to tell Barak what to do. That's not the way she's coming across. How is she coming across? God let me know this, but Barak, you should know this, that God is talking to you directly. Why are you not doing what God says? I love that about my wife. My wife has enough sensibility in her, knows that God talks to me and senses it in my life, and she will come along with me and sometimes says this, I thought you said God said this to you. Why are you not doing it? That's a good woman. That's a good woman. Deborah is not exerting her role as a woman over the man here. Not at all. She was encouraging this man that I believe should have been in her place. But the man, Barak, was not ready. I'm asking you, where are the men that should be in leadership role? Where are you? Are you here? If you're here, let God use you in leadership role. A lot of times a woman will take your place because they don't see you leading. Now, if that's the case, then stand up and lead. You understand what I'm saying? Young man, you should know the scripture. Don't let the young lady beat you out of knowing the Bible. Young men here that are sitting here, don't let a young woman beat you out on learning the Bible. I don't remember most of those verses. I remember some. But at one point, Brother Seth Garland, Pastor Seth, challenged the young men of the church to memorize verses. And I got up to 400 verses I memorized, according to the chart that we decided to do. And he gave me a 400 pin. I don't know where it is now. But some of the verses I know today is because we did that. And I know in Wednesday night class, you're being challenged by Brother Jake here, young men, to memorize verses. Where are you? Are you going to stand up to the challenge and know the scripture? Not that you're better than the girls. That's not your attitude. But you have to lead someday. And you need to know the Word of God. It's a shame that a woman knows the Word of God better than you. You're getting the drift where I'm going here? Why is that? That it's seemingly like in most churches, the women are more spiritual than the men in the church. Why is that? Why is that? Man, we need you in this church to make this church last another 40 years. I'm asking you as the new pastor being installed next year. I'm asking you, I need every one of you in this room to be the best Christian man you could possibly be by God's grace. I'm not saying I need you to be perfect, because I ain't even perfect. None of us are perfect. But we are striving to be the man God wants us to be by the Word of God. And I'm challenging you. Be that man. Be that man. Let's lead the ladies. There's some wonderful ladies in our church. We're not going to trample over them. We're not going to hinder them. We're not going to be jerks and be mean to them. We're going to be gentlemen. We're going to do right by them. But we need to be leaders in our church. We need to be leaders in their church. There should be at times, if I were to go away somewhere, I can call on a man to preach in my place because they know the scripture and they can do it. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Amen. We're men here, that's why I'm a little bit strong. Is that okay? Is that okay? That's why I'm doing it this way. Because you're men. I'm not going to have you again like this for a long time. You're going to ask Pastor, please don't do that again. But I have you now. So I'm going to take advantage of it. Why? Because we need men. We need grandpas that believe what I'm preaching here. We need dads that believe what I'm preaching here. We need teenage boys, young adult men that believe what I'm teaching today. We need boys that grow up knowing these things. We are men, and God expects us to lead the women and the children. We're not going to make it as a church. In fact, as a missionary, I'm going to give you a side note as a missionary. In the mission field where I came from, it was easier to get ladies and children in the church because they're the most interested. They're the easiest people to bring to church. And we had a bunch of ladies in our church. Until one point when Brother Elvin became the pastor, he said to me, let's pray. Let's highlight the men of our church. Let's do something together. We had a bike ride because all of them have motors, which is a bicycle, a motorbike, a bike, whatever. I don't have one. My wife said no. I wanted one. I drove some. It was crazy. Driving in that messy traffic. You know, it's only 150cc. That's how it sounds. But my wife says no, but I sneaked around. We had men outings where we actually go out to a town, get gospel tracts, pass them out, had a barbecue, swim in the ocean, come back, ride home. We had fun. We had men things we did. I want to see that in our church. Get the men together. Why? That's what Jesus did. He always had the men together. He was ministering with the men. He was having fun with the men. You think it wasn't fun when Jesus was sleeping? I think he was pretending. He was sleeping on that, and then everybody's going crazy. And Jesus is like, oh, okay, guys, wait a second. Peace be still. I think in the back of my mind, I don't know if they were looking at Jesus or if Jesus was on the bow of the ship and everybody's behind him. He was probably like, bunch of scaredy cats back here. I don't know if he was doing that. But Jesus was a man's man, and he was not afraid to be with the men. We need men in our church. I'm asking you, are you in it? Are you in it for this church? Not that you're going to be a jerk, a dictator, a micromanager, or whatever. Not trample on our ladies, because gentlemen take care of their ladies. Right? Amen. Where are the men? And Deborah said, I'm not going to read you Ruth. Let's go to the next point. So we find here that shows us that Deborah was connected. Point number one. Deborah was connected. What I mean by connected? She had a walk with God. She knew what God's will was for them at this time. And she was trying to show that to Barak. Barak, why do you not know these things? In fact, she alluded a couple times the way she talked that Barak should have known these things. Meaning that maybe Barak was not right with God at some point or not have a relationship with God like he should have. I challenged you last Sunday night. I preached about having a relationship. Men, you should be in prayer. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. God addressed that to the men. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Luke chapter number 18, verse number 1. So may I challenge you, get connected with God like Deborah was. Barak failed, but Deborah did not. Because Barak was not there. So what's going to happen? If at home you are not the man of prayer, you're going to let your wife outshine you in prayer? Not that you're competing with her. Please, don't think that way. I'm not saying we're better than the women. No. I'm asking us to take up the role that God asks us to. We need to be leaders. That means we need to be ahead. We need to be leading. Let's lead them in that we are connected with God. Connected with God. Get your relationship with God under control. Number two, we find in a different situation here. Let's read number 8. Judges chapter number 4 and verse number 8. Okay? Time is slipping. And Barak said unto her, if thou wilt go with me, then I will go. What a man! Can you see yourself saying that? Come on now. Come on. Put yourself in this situation with Barak. And that's what I know he's having a hard time here as a man. Look at what he says. Verse number 8. Barak finally said something. For the first thing he said is this. Barak said unto her, if thou wilt go with me, then I will go. Who was Barak looking up to? Right? Why? Because he wasn't. It's not a good place for a man. Okay? It's not a good place. I don't have a problem following a woman. I don't have a problem with that. Especially if I'm not doing what I should be doing. That's the least I could do. But in this situation, Barak should have been leading this. In fact, Deborah said that. Deborah didn't say, come follow me. Deborah said, you need to go. You need to up and go. Remember the words he said? Go up. Do this thing. Deborah didn't say, I will go with you. Deborah's saying, no, you're the man God wants for this job. Why don't you do it? And Barak says, Mommy, if you do it with me, Mommy, I'll do it, Mommy. I'm not going to read you Proverbs 31:28 and Proverbs 31:30. Men, one day, read that. Young men, if you're looking for a woman, you're looking for the right characteristic for a woman, you read Proverbs 31. You'll find plenty of characteristic you need. A virtuous woman, the Bible says, is their price is far above ruby. And ruby is very rare. Okay? So I'm not going to deal with that. But look at verse number 9. Barak says, if you don't go with me, Deborah, I won't go. Verse number 9. And she said, I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor. I think Deborah knows exactly what I'm teaching this morning. Do you understand what I'm saying? She's going to give you an eyeful here. She's going to give you an earful. Here's this. Look at verse number 9. Notwithstanding, the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor. For the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. I think Deborah knew what was happening. Deborah was trying to empower Barak to be the man God wanted him to be, but Barak was too sissified and said, no, I want you to come with me because it seems like you are connected with God. I don't want to die. Maybe. But first number point, you should be so connected with God as a man, you don't need a woman telling you God's will for your life. We find Barak cannot survive without Deborah's wisdom because he didn't have a relationship with God himself. Am I clear here to this morning? And what happens here? Deborah said, then you will not be honored. A woman will kill Sisera. And it continues here. Look at, we find that Deborah was respected. It's sad, though, that Barak did that, respected Deborah. We should be the one respected. The Bible says, you know, the only reason the scripture tells us that a wife should be quiet at church? We made fun of that a couple of weeks ago. That was just a joke, right? But real, when they should keep silent at church, you know why? You know what the context of the verse says? Because they should have a husband that knows. And they could go to that husband with respect and ask, why do we do this? My wife should be able to come to me and say, honey, why do we read the Bible? My wife should be able to ask me and say, why do you wear the way the things you wear? Why do we go to that church? Why do we not watch this? Why do we not go there? She should be able to ask me that, and I should know the scripture, guys, and I should be able to tell her. You understand? Okay. Let's go to point number three, and we'll finish up today. Not only was Deborah in the first two points here, we see that she was connected. Then we find that she was cherished, meaning she was respected. Okay? Number three here, we find another woman in her place, Jael. And Jael was courageous. And should be all of us. As men, we should be connected. We should be cherished. And we should be courageous. But we find the women are the one doing this in this particular story in Judges chapter number 4 and 5. Look at Judges chapter 4 again, verse 15. But when the children of Israel... Oh, I got in the wrong chapter again. Let me give you 15 of chapter 4, Judges chapter number 4 and verse number 15. And the Lord discomfited Sisera and all his chariots and all his host with the edge of the sword before Barak. So, that sounds good. Before Barak. They didn't mention Deborah. Deborah was with there. But Deborah was not given the commendation in this verse. So that Sisera lighted down of his chariot and fled away on his foot, on his feet. Verse 16. But Barak pursued after the chariots and after the host unto Hazoreth of the Gentiles. And all the host of Sisera fell upon the edge of the sword, and there was not a man left. So he took off and followed the wrong pursuit, and Sisera slipped away. Okay? The captain of the enemy. Look at verse 17. However, Sisera fled away on his feet to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber, the Canaanite. For there was peace between Jabin, the king of Hazor, and the house of Heber, the Canaanite. And Jael went out to meet Sisera and said unto him, turn in, my lord, turn in to me, fear not. And when he had turned into the tent, she covered him with a mantle. And verse 19, and he said unto her, give me, I pray thee, a little water to drink, for I am thirsty. And she opened a bottle of milk. Wow, she's putting it on. Women know how to do that. And gave him drink and covered him. I was going to go like this in my Bible, but it doesn't work. Verse 21. In Jael, Heber's wife took a nail of the tent and took a hammer in her hand and went softly unto him and smote the nail into his temple and fastened it into the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary, so he died. What a courageous woman. That's awesome. You want to write about an action movie, that would be cool. All right? Verse 22, and behold, as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him and said unto him, come, I will show thee the man whom thou seekest. I've done the job that your job was. I did it for you. Come on. I'll show you. Okay? Come and I'll show thee the man whom thou seekest. And when he came into her tent, behold, Sisera lay dead, and the nail was in his temple. So God subdued on that day Jabin, the king of Canaan, before the children of Israel. And the hand of the children of Israel prospered and prevailed against Jabin, the king of Canaan, until they had destroyed Jabin, king of Canaan, the Canaanites. Okay? Last verses we're going to read, and we're done for the day. Now, I'll give you that quote because our time is slipping. Look at this in Judges chapter number 5, verse 24. This is now the celebration of this incident. They're going to recall what happened. And remember what Deborah said in verse number 14. It will not be for your honor there, Barak. Look at what it says. Verse number 24 of chapter number 5. Blessed above women shall Jael, the wife of Heber, the Canaanite, be. Blessed shall she be above woman in the tent. This is a song they came up with. Okay? Look at what it says. Or maybe it's not a song, but it's I think it was, but I may be mistaken. Verse number 25. And he asked water, and she gave him milk. She brought forth butter in the lordly dish. Okay? She put her hand to the nail and her right hand to the workman's hammer. And with the hammer she smote Sisera, she smote off his head, when she had pierced and stricken through his temple. You see the exaggeration here? Why? Because Jael became a legend. You see the exaggeration? He ripped off his head. Right? You see the exaggeration in the words that was said here? Because this is going to be a folklore. This is going to be like, hey, this is like Daniel Boone was a man. Right? That's going to be what this was going to be. She was going to be talked about. And look at verse 26. 27. And after, and at her feet she bowed, he fell. And at her feet he bowed. Did he bow? He was sleeping. You see the exaggeration here? Because that's what happens with stories. You know, your fish you caught was this big, it became that big, and then when your grandkids teach it, it was a whale. God, my grandpa got a whale. That's what's happening here. Look at verse number 27. And at her feet he bowed, he fell. Where he bowed, there he fell, down dead. I think this was a song. That's my mind. This is like a rhythm here. Look at verse 27. And at here he fell, he fell. He lay down at her feet, he bowed. He fell. Where he bowed, there he fell, down dead. You see that? I think there was a rapping going on here. No, I don't believe that. Something was happening here. And the mother of Sisera looked out at the window and cried through the lattice, why is his chariot so long in coming? Why tarry the wheels of his chariot? And it just gives you the whole thing here. And guess who was not mentioned in this tale? Who did the hard work and killed everybody else? It was Barak. But who got the honor? The woman. Who retrieved the body of Sisera and brought it back to Israel? You think Jael did that? It was Barak that had to bring that body back. And Deborah so wisely said, you should be on the honor as a man, but you did not do your job. And Jael said, come, the man you're seeking, I've done it for you. Gladys Allwood was a missionary. She was instrumental in, main story is during the war, she was able to use by God to take 100 children fleeing from Japanese during the World War II, I believe it was. She said this phrase. I'm going to leave you this. I wasn't God's first choice for what I've done for China. There was somebody else. I don't know who it was. God's first choice. It must have been a wonderful man, a well-educated man. I don't know what happened. Perhaps he wasn't willing. And God looked down and saw Gladys Allward. She wasn't the most prettiest thing in the world. She was crazy, though. I'm going to challenge you, young men. I'm going to challenge you, men. Are you connected to God? Are you respected and cherished? Are you courageous to do what God wants you to do? Or a woman doing that for you? Let's not do that. Let's be the man, according to the word of God, God wants us to be. Lord, thank you for today. In Jesus' name, amen.